60 million colors. Bring some havoc in your head. Welcome to Titan Cast, your home for Sega Saturn news, commentary, personal stories, and more. My name's Samuel, the son of Sega Gentleman, and it's been one hell of a minute since we did this recording, so let's go ahead and introduce everybody. Of course, we got myself. We've also got our virtual schlub, the man from Seattle itself, Mr. Brian. Oh, and we've got a little bit of a visitor today in the form of Miss Lady Morgan, otherwise known as a Sega Saturn junkyard admin kind of thing. I don't know. She's new to the party.
Vice President.
Yeah, Vice President, the muggle, the person with the mug. I don't know. It's new. It's been a while. We're sorry, folks. But on top of that, we've also got our Mr. Portuguese man, the Nebuchadnezzar, otherwise known as Nuno. So let's go ahead and jump right up into the topic at hand, and let's go ahead and get a little bit of news and such out of the way, and I'm going to shake it off over to Brian on that remark.
Okay, yeah. So I've kind of put my video stuff on a little hiatus at the moment while I'm upgrading all of my stuff. So I recently got a FrameMeister. I got, you know, all the requisite adapters and whatnot. I'm just trying to finish my setup with a better, more shielded SCART cable. But after I have that, I think I'll be in a better position to be able to capture footage again that I'll be happier with. Otherwise, yeah, I've been playing a lot of if Father K was here, I might make a confession that I've been playing a lot of Wipeout, but not the correct Wipeout. I've been playing a lot of Wipeout for the PSVR, because that is just freaking mind blowing. I love having, like, being able to look all around and get motion sick and feel like I have to throw up after every turn. It's pretty exhilarating. And then I've also been playing the Nintendo 64 version a little bit too. And I think this will seek into our topic at some point, but I just finished Panzer Dragoon Saga for the first time ever. So I'll be able to talk about that later. How about you, Morgan? What's new?
Everything. I've recently busted out my old system, so I've been playing some Parappa the Rappa on the PS1. I'm currently doing Knights, of course. I play Knights all the time. It's a nightly thing.
Nightly nights.
I'm trying to get the challenge ready for July 1st, which is going to be a lot of fun. I hope you guys can try to beat me. Good luck. I've been also playing Shining Holy Ark. And also some Shining Force 3. I've had some problems with, especially going from a scenario 1 to scenario 2. That's been rough for me. I had to lose all my save data from, you know, the first go. So I'm kind of like mad at it. I'll talk about it later. There was some type of weird thing with the translation. And I'm playing Marble Madness. Kind of cool to bring up something totally fucking retro. Love me some Marble Madness. Like I said, just over here gaming, you know, busting out old systems and doing what I can do. What about you, Nuna?
Right now it's just me and Brian doing videos, and Brian has been busy with a lot of work, and as you just heard, he's upgrading his recording setup. On my end, I've just been busy with life stuff, and I also decided to take a break after doing both of my Tech Battle videos, and then I still made the Saturn Games in 4K video, so I was just feeling a bit exhausted and a bit burned out, and I decided it was best both for me and for the channel to just take a break and recharge batteries. So still, I'm finally at the point where I'm starting to come back and working on some stuff. I actually just finished encoding a video that will go up later this week. And it's nothing too fancy. It's just a playthrough of a game. And I'm also working on another video that I actually had been planning for a while. And in a perfect world, it would have been uploaded already, because it was, let's say, time sensitive. It was relevant. it was related to something that just happened, and I completely missed that special date. But I'm still, it will still be relevant when it's done, hopefully in a couple of weeks from now at the most. And nice. Speaking of the YouTube channel, it doesn't feel too long ago that it wasn't too long ago that we were struggling to get a couple hundred views. And not only we finally broke the 1,000 view mark on one video, and then soon after we reached that mark with two more videos. So right now we have three videos that broke the 1,000 view mark, which is amazing. And what is even more amazing is that one of those, the Saturn Games in 4K video, as we record this, so maybe when the podcast is up, it will already have gone past that milestone. But as we record this, the Saturn Games in 4K is almost about to break the 2,000 view mark, which I really hope happens between in the meantime between recording this podcast and podcast going up.
Yeah,
which is nice. Just, it's mind-blowing. I mean, 2,000 views for a single video. It's just, it was yesterday that we started this. At least it feels like it was yesterday that we started this channel, and our first videos had something like 30 views for the first week or 60 views for the first month. And now we're sitting at almost 2,000 views, which is just, it's just amazing. And our subscribers have also gone up. We have more than 400 subscribers right now. And it's just, it's mind-blowing. And it's thanks to you guys. It's thanks to the people from the Facebook group, the people who read the blog, the people who listen to the podcasts, and strangers from the internet that just stumble onto our channel and like the stuff, and they subscribe and they watch the videos. And it's really amazing. And I really love being a part of this project. So thank you guys so much for watching our stuff, because we do this out of love for the Saturn and, of course, for the community. What's the point of making videos if no one is going to watch them, right? So I just wanted to say that. Other than that, I haven't been playing much. I'm basically just playing Saturn games, the Saturn games that I'm recording videos about. So it's not so much playing just for fun. It's more playing with the specific purpose of recording footage for the videos. The only thing that I've been playing, actually I haven't been playing it anymore much. Talking about recent games, I've been playing a bit of the Dark Souls Remaster. I'm a longtime fan of the series.
Love it. Yes.
I don't kind of love it as much. The thing is, so I played Dark Souls back in the day. I actually played every single Dark Souls. I also played Demon's Souls back in the day. So I'm really hardcore like that. I played Demon's Souls back in the day. But I was playing Dark Souls Remastered just to, you know, revisit an old game. And I found myself only really playing for the first few areas. I played the Undead Burg and everything associated with the Undead Burg. And then I completely skipped the depths because I completely hate that level. And I went straight to Blighttown through that shortcut in the Valley of the Drakes. And I arrived in Blighttown and went down to the bonfire at the bottom because I hate Blighttown. And so I'm at the bonfire. In the swamp, the poisonous area before the spider boss. And I hate that area. And I just found myself thinking, yeah, I really don't like 80% of this game. I really only like the Undead Burg and the areas close by, that for those first castle areas. So I really don't like the rest of the game. I'm being honest right now, I don't think I'm going to play anymore because I just hate the other areas of the game. So that's what I'm spending.
I don't mean to laugh, but I love it. I love it. I love it. Oh, wow.
So, Nuno, I know you talked a little bit about our YouTube channel. And, of course, Sam, you have a little bit of YouTube stuff going on right now yourself, right?
Yeah, I've got my own channel, as most of y'all who are fans of the podcast probably know.
Yes.
Now, I hate to say this, I hate to throw this out there, but I still have the most liked video on the Junkyards YouTube channel, but not the most viewed by any means. That honor belongs to Mr. Nuno, of course. My channel, however, it's for a channel that's only really a month and a half old. I'm doing pretty good, I believe. I've got 157 subscribers at the time of this recording. Of course, I've had 157. I lost a couple of people on my Sega Saturn and Sega Dreamcast reproduction video. Now, that's perfectly fine. It's perfectly fine. But for the 157 of y'all out there, including that guy who subscribed to my channel just I think it was last night. It actually made me laugh out loud whenever I got that notification. But for all 157 of y'all, I really do appreciate it. Y'all aren't just numbers. Y'all are basically what keeps me wanting to do YouTube most of the time. And there are some massive changes coming to my channel. Not massive in the sense that we're going to start talking about like Barbie dolls or some shit like that. But, you know, there's going to be some
Barbie horse adventures.
Yeah.
We're not
going that far. But there's going to be a couple of changes coming in, and it's going to make things a lot easier for me, because anybody who's listening to the podcast who's also a fan of my channel will probably know that a couple of weeks ago at this point, we had some major issues in regards to there was a storm and I lost 45 plus hours of recordings, and I have done everything in my power to make sure that doesn't happen again. On top of the fact that, you know, for me to record video and such was very time consuming. So we've made a couple of upgrades in regards to that, and y'all be seeing that by the time this recording has already come out. Hopefully there'll be two videos out. So don't worry. There's going to be some videos rolling out soon. We've got a whole bunch of videos in the work. Dead or Alive Retrospective Part 2 has been in production for about a week now. We got a little bit of vertical shooting action on the Sega Saturn coming up possibly. And, you know, I know this is a Sega Saturn podcast and all, but the truth of the matter is, like I said on my channel, I really, really enjoy the other consoles, especially the PlayStation, PS2 included. And we're going to be getting a little bit of PlayStation action coming up soon. So look forward to that. But that's pretty much all the news in regards to me, at least. Oh, by the way, I've got to say this. DOA 6, Nuff said. The moment that come across the news feed, I lost my shit. Because, I mean, really, Dead or Alive 6 was like, they were talking about it coming. And this is tangentially related to the Saturn, because it started console life on the Saturn. But really, whenever it came to DOA 6, we were talking like maybe 2020. 2021 is what I was looking at, all the information I had. And for them to come out the day before E3 starts, Koei Tecmo, and go, "Hey, y'all, guess what? Here's this thing. Look at it." And I am literally blown away by that trailer. I know that we have like no information practically at the time of this recording, at least. But that, for a DOA fan, seeing the changes in that game, either you're going to love it or hate it possibly, but I absolutely love it, and I've got a lot to say about it. In fact, I'm going to do a video about it here come soon. I hate being one of them 24-hour news cycle gaming guys, but I think this is one of those topics I really want to touch on, but that's me done.
Yeah, well, it does perfect. Have infinitely more bruising, right, than infinite, previous entries?
Infinitely.
All right. Well, cool. So I guess at that point we can just jump right into our topic for today, which we figured we would want to talk about RPGs. I know we did the shmups episode a while back, and so I think it kind of is nice to have broader discussions around genres like this, and certainly the Saturn had a very interesting relationship with the genre, the RPG genre, at least specifically here in the West, where we didn't get a lot of the ones that showed up in Japan. But then, you know, when you take a step back and after time goes by and you have a lot of fan projects where some of those games that were only in Japanese before have now been released or at least fan translated and made available to fans everywhere. You know, it's kind of cool to see games like, you know, Dragon Force 2 and Shining Force Scenarios 2 and 4, yes, and all of those come out. I think we can just kick it off with a little bit of a roundtable chat about our just our choice Sega Saturn RPGs. Morgan, you're our guest. Would you like to kick us off?
I would love to. Thank you, gentlemen. So I'm going to be honest. I'm not a big fan of the Saturn RPG. To me, they fell short. The graphics suck. Sorry. Triggered. I'm not a big fan. I didn't like Dragon Force. I absolutely hate Blazing Heroes. I actually want to make a video of me smashing the damn thing in the street. But the ones that I am enjoying right now would be Shining Force 3. I played it about 15 years ago, and it was great. So I loved it, but the problem was that I had no, you know, I couldn't go to the next scenario. So recently, Father K sent me three burnt copies, well, four if you want to include the premium disc. He sent me burnt copies of the game, and I got to play it again. I had a good time playing it with my friend Jared. He and I went through it together, and I absolutely loved it. Shining Force does it for me. That's my type of shit. I love the tactical strategy RPG. So I played through a scenario one, but I got really angry when I got scenario two because I couldn't move my save over. Being a female gamer, you know, you don't want to use, you want to make your own name up. And I could never just think, oh, it's Morgan. So I used the name Thought. And the characters were too long. So when I moved my save file from scenario one to scenario two, it couldn't hold that extra character in the letter. So I could not move my save file. So that kind of put me on a hiatus. Yeah, it was really weird. So I talked to Kay from the Shiro and a few other people. I know, Sam, you hit me up and tried to help. It sucked. I like all the work I did, I put like 100 hours into this thing, and I couldn't move my save file over. So I'm kind of taking a little hiatus on it, and I'll play it again here soon. It just angers me. Did you guys have any problems with this? I've heard a lot about it.
I haven't. I actually haven't played any of the Shining Force 3 scenarios yet.
Oh my god.
It's on my list. But that is fascinating to me for that kind of design oversight, I guess. Like, I can't imagine there was a good technical reason that they needed to truncate the number of available characters in the following scenarios, which I would imagine they would have foreseen would have that impact. That's crazy. That's really crazy to me. Wow.
It is. And because, like I said, being a female gamer, you just don't name your female, you don't use your name as a male character. So I use the word Thought. Like I said, Thought is always my character when it comes to RPGs. So I go to move this file over, and every time I try to make a save, it gets all messed up. I can't make the save. So I put that game on hold for a little bit. My friend Jared and I will get back to it later. And I recently got into that Holy Ark. Oof. Whoa, you guys played that game? Any of y'all played it?
Not yet.
I'll take that as a no. Okay. It's a dungeon crawler. It's a little weird, but...
But yes, I have played Shining the Holy Ark, and I honestly don't really care for the game. It's not my favorite whenever it comes to the Saturn by any means. It's a grinder, and you know I do not really care for grinding games. My wife absolutely loves those kind of games, like Disgaea and stuff like that, and Dissidia and all.
Right.
She is all about level 9999.
Work it, girl. Work it.
That is her life, man. But you know, I really think there are probably two or three at least types of RPG gamers. You know, you've got the ones like yourself and my wife who absolutely love to grind. Then you've got the people who are kind of, you know, they like leveling up, finding new stuff, getting new. But then you got people like me. And like, seriously, all I want to do is I want to be immersed in the story. I want to be immersed in the world. I don't care about, all I want to do is level up enough to where I can beat the next boss so I can find out more about the place. To me, it's not so much about how many hours I can put into the game. It's about how much I can get from the story in the world. And, you know, I've talked about that a couple of times on the cast. I'm more of an immersive gamer. I'll be completely honest with you. I hate platformers because there's no freaking story. There's no story. There's no story. It's like Mario. I hate Mario. But like, if you get me into a world that has a story into it, has something for me to find. Well, except for like shooters. I absolutely love shooters, and there's no story there.
Me too.
But you know, it's kind of touch and go. To me, I really didn't care for Shrine of the Holy Ark. In fact, my favorite. Yeah. I've got three RPGs on the Saturn that I'll get to here in a second. Whenever it's my turn to talk about it, but there are three RPGs on the Saturn that for me are all equal in how much I love them. Not necessarily equal in their quality of gameplay. And all three of them have something a little bit different for each. So that's me.
Sam mentioned how platformers, he doesn't like platformers because they're very light on story. So Sam, have you watched that interview with Elon Musk where they talk about games?
I have not, dude.
Okay, go on YouTube and look for an interview. I can't even remember who interviewed him and what for. But Elon Musk from Tesla and SpaceX and all that stuff, he gave an interview where the interviewer at some point talks about games. What games does he even like games? And if he does, what games does he like? By the way, one of his answers was Deus Ex, or Deus Ex, as you guys pronounce it.
Right.
Which, hell yeah, represent.
First one, the first one, which is really, it's really the patrician choice. But then he says that he really likes stories in games. And the interviewer, who's a young guy, at least he looks like a young guy, he says something along the lines of, yeah, I mean, games really have amazing stories. Like, for example, the old Super Mario's had amazing stories.
I don't know. Is there a punchline?
Super Mario had a story besides, you know, go find the princess.
I am not joking. That guy was really serious when he said that. Like, the old Super Mario's, they had amazing stories.
Did old boy, like rip him a new one?
The funny thing is that it didn't sound like a joke. If he was trying to crack a joke, then it didn't go as planned because it sounded totally serious. Like, he was really saying that I mean, the old Super Mario's had amazing stories.
Here's my thing with it, man. Yes, some platformers have stories. Don't get me wrong. Some platformers do have stories. But platformers are in themselves a game that is designed around gameplay.
Absolutely.
That's what it is. And if you enjoy that, that doesn't detract from you whatsoever as a gamer. But my personal preference is I have to be immersed in a story. I have to be immersed in a world. And if I don't have that immersion, I don't care. That's the vast majority of gaming for me. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't, you know, I absolutely love my first person shooters, which are mindless at times. I absolutely love my shmups. I just never really cared for platformers. And the truth of the matter is, and that's, I talked about it on my channel whenever I did my channel trailer, and even just a little while ago up on another video, I am more of a 32-bit gamer and after. I grew up with a 16. I grew up with an 8-bit, don't get me wrong. I grew up with a Sega Master System. I grew up with the Super Nintendo and the Sega Genesis. But I honestly don't care for the world of games that they presented you with because it was mostly platformers. I just didn't care for it.
Alex Kidd? Like, you weren't into Alex Kidd?
No. I've got Wonder Boy. I've got my Alex Kidds. I love those. Don't get me wrong.
All right.
I do love certain games, but in general, I do not care for platformers.
To the point of Super Mario Brothers, and just like storytelling in general, I could kind of see. Well, hold on. So there's a lot of ways you can tell a story in a game, right? Like, video games are very unique in that they have a lot of different avenues and a lot of different planes that a narrative can unfold. And I think gameplay is a legitimate one of those. I mean, you have environmental storytelling. You have elements of that are baked into the mechanics. And so to the idea of Super Mario Brothers, I mean, one of the things that Miyamoto did masterfully is teach the player to play the game just through the placement of the initial jumps and enemies and blocks. I mean, there was an element of storytelling embedded in the gameplay where you could jump into it, never having played a platformer, mainly because they didn't really exist by that point. And just through the objects that you come across, the game's like teaching you and telling you what it's about just as you interact with them. And I think, you know, to an extent, there is a gameplay or a mechanical level storytelling that that Super Mario Brothers actually does really well. And all of that said, Simon, our own Father K just joined us. How the hell are you doing, buddy?
I'm fine. Are you recording this right now?
Yes.
Bring me up to speed later on. Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. Absolutely fine.
Hi.
Simon, you want to just fill us in on what's new with you? I mean, we kind of, yeah.
Okay, I'll tell you what's new with me. I've been playing Wipeout a lot. Wipeout on the Saturn. Obviously a famous PlayStation game, but I've been playing it Saturn iteration and absolutely loving it. So I've been kind of obsessively playing that. Played a little bit of High Octane the other day, a little bit of Hang On GP96, but really mostly just Wipeout, Wipeout, Wipeout. And I've written a piece about it on the main site, so that's there for people to check out if they wish. So yeah, that's about it really. Not a lot else. Wipeout, Wipeout, Wipeout. Oh, and I bought a PlayStation 3 as well, so I can play Yakuza 5.
Yeah.
You didn't have a PlayStation 3?
Oh, God, let's not go there. Please.
Dude, I've got like 5 of them. I could have sent you one.
What?
The postage.
It cost as much for you to send me one as it cost me to buy it. I got a voucher for my my over 50s insurance policy. I got an Amazon voucher as a free gift. So I'm gonna spend that one. In fact, I have spent that. It was £75, the voucher. You used to get a free pen, but they've kind of upgraded it a little bit. And so I used my voucher to buy a PS3, which costs £75 with the postage. So I haven't actually spent any real money. I've just spent my insurance present.
Nice.
Yeah, that's cool.
Age
has benefits.
I see.
Yeah, so I was saying this earlier. I guess since you're here, I will make this confession. I've been playing a lot of Wipeout also.
Yeah.
Hang on one second. I haven't seen any evidence of that on the Facebook page.
I'm getting to it. I've been playing the wrong Wipeout. I've been playing a lot of Omega Collection, particularly in virtual reality on PSVR. I cannot get enough of that game. I can play it forever and just get immersed in all of that. There's something that just that added dimension just really kind of transforms that experience for me. And then also I've been playing a little bit of the Nintendo 64 one. So, yeah, please forgive me, Father K.
You know, I bought the VR one for the PS4 too. I have a helmet just not being used since I started playing Saturn again. So
yeah,
I downloaded it, but I haven't even looked at it at all.
Yeah, that's you know, something to just keep on the back burner to look forward to. But I mean, the Saturn ones are fun too. I should be able to put more time into playing those soon. Maybe not in time to participate in the challenge, but I definitely want to go back to the 32-bit ones.
I'll leave it up there for you, mate.
Maybe XL. I'll get in on the XL one. How about that?
Okay, fair enough.
Or 2097? Whatever.
2097.
Yeah. All right. Well, so, yeah, just to catch you up to speed, we're talking about RPGs, and I think we just went through a few examples. Morgan had talked about Shining Force 3 and a little bit of Shining in the Holy Ark, although maybe we'll get to that a little more in a bit. Sam then talked a little bit about, I don't know, what did you talk about, Sam?
I'm going to be completely honest with you. I mean, I have no idea. This podcast has gone like completely sideways as hell. I mean, to literally put this in a very southern term, you know, a very southern epitome of sorts for y'all. Look, when it rains outside, a chicken knows to get underneath a truck. Now,
Gangster.
What we have here is that the chicken is still standing out up in the rain with his head up and is drowning. I mean, it's done got sideways.
Yeah, our chicken is going for a swim.
So, I mean, truth be told, I mean, I know we're talking about RPGs. Y'all were wanting to talk about Saga.
Nuno, do you want to, like, start with an overview and then I can chime in with some additional thoughts?
My thoughts on Panzer Dragoon Saga. It's a game that I got into a bit late during my second time around with the Saturn. I completely missed it when it came out. Well, I was a kid who barely understood English, so there was no point in playing the game back then. So I played Panzer Dragoon Saga probably around, I don't know, 2007, 2008 maybe. And I was already aware of the hype, so I really didn't know what to expect. I knew it was an RPG, obviously, but I knew that it was in some ways different from the norm, and I was afraid that I wasn't going to like it, that I had too high expectations that were just impossible to be fulfilled by the game. And that actually happened with another really famous RPG from the time. So in my mind, they're kind of intertwined, which is Final Fantasy VII. It's another classic RPG of the 32-bit era, the Saturn and PlayStation era. And it's another game that I completely missed at the time. And when I first tried to play it many years later, completely convinced that it was one of the greatest games of all time, because that's why what I had heard, I actually didn't like it that much. I actually tried to play Final Fantasy VII three times on three different occasions. And the first two times I ended up quitting and not really that much into the game, because I just couldn't get into it. I found myself not having that much fun. And I was confused because everyone said that this game was amazing. Is there something wrong with me? Am I playing it wrong? Is my taste that bad that I can't appreciate a game that everyone else seems to love? It really bothered me at the time. Eventually, many years later, after the first try, I tried it for the third time, and third time's the charm, I finally managed to get somewhat into the game, enough that I beat it, and I wasn't forcing myself to beat it. I just ended up liking the game enough to reach the end, and I really liked the story, I really liked the characters, and especially the whole thing with Cloud. I'm not going to spoil it in case there's still someone else out there who hasn't played it yet, but the main character, the story about the relationship between him and his best friend and how that played out, I'm talking about Zach, that was really an original thing that I wasn't expecting, and it was really deep, the whole relationship between the characters and how that shaped Cloud into the character that he was at the start of the game. But gameplay-wise and in terms of structure of the game, I still don't like it that much. I have played other Final Fantasies and fantasies, and I like the series in general. But I'm not saying this just to be edgy, to be cool, to be a contrarian. The truth is that I simply don't like Final Fantasy VII that much. I recognize what it did right, what it was original and, I would say, revolutionary at the time, especially in the Western markets. I recognize that. But on a personal level, I don't really like the game that much. So I was a bit afraid of having the same experience with Panzer Dragoon Saga, which is a series that I was already emotionally invested in the first two games, which I had played a lot by this point. So I really didn't know what to expect. And I was a bit afraid of feeling disappointed. So I started the game, and I clearly remembered the very first time that I started the game, just seeing that opening cinematic and feeling that this was really something special. Just from the way that the intro cinematic is shot and put together, edited together. It's so professional. It's so cinematic. It's so atmospheric. It really sets the mood and the tone for the game, which I think is remarkable, because usually I'm not that much into FMVs. I like them in terms of, at the time, I loved FMVs in terms of the visual quality compared to the 3D real-time graphics that were available at the time. But I mostly got into the game by playing the game and not because of the intro movie. And then I actually started the game and completely loved it. I loved the combat system. I think it's amazing. RPGs and we're going to get into we don't like and our relationship RPGs in general. I like the genre and I have many problems with it, but on a in general, I do like RPGs and the Japanese variety. So I just try to wrap this up. As I was saying, I think the combat system is really amazing, especially for people who are not that much into traditional RPGs. The action element of it and how easy it is to understand. And you don't have to be like a math genius or a genius in terms of using buffs and debuffs and mixing different characters' abilities together to get some explosive combination. You use attacks and you time your attacks right and you take care of your position. And also the structure of the game, the progression of the game, the graphics I think are amazing. And they have that particular Saturn look to it because the Saturn render 3D in a different way from the PlayStation or the Nintendo 64, so it had a very particular look. And I think Panzer Dragoon Saga really nails that particular Saturn look. And overall, it's a game that I really, really liked. And what about you, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, to piggyback on that a little bit, I mean, I think it's really telling when you alluded that Panzer Dragoon Saga is a game that you can kind of get into and enjoy even if you didn't traditionally play a lot of RPGs ahead of time. And I think it says a lot about the development team, which, you know, Team Andromeda, where, you know, they came hot off the heels of the first two games. In fact, I think they developed Svii in tandem with Saga. And I think, you know, they, of course, expanded the team significantly when they started that project. But, you know, you could tell that these were people that had a very intentional vision for what the game would be. And I think it subverted a lot of the expectations that, especially since Final Fantasy VII came on board, of what RPGs, you know, how expansive and detailed and how, I don't know, meandering and complicated they you know traditionally were, or at least they were, you know, that was the trend. And Saga kind of upended that. It was very intentionally simple in terms of, you know, gameplay, as you mentioned, in terms of story, in terms, I mean, it's not a meandering RPG by any means. It has a, I think, you know, if you didn't take all the time to do all the exploring and grinding and whatnot, I mean, you could finish that game in less than 15 hours, probably, maybe even mm-hmm. sooner than that. And one thing I really appreciated about it, though, was it left a lot to interpretation. I think that it didn't hit you over the head with a bunch of details, fleshing out all the little nuanced backstory pieces of all the characters and everything. It was very straightforward and relatively linear, and it kind of relished that ambiguity a little bit. It gave you a little bit of detail of, you know, the events that transpired and how the post-apocalyptic world kind of came to be, and what the, you know, what the characters, you know, what their purpose is and what their goals and motives are. But it never really took a ton of time to say, oh, okay, here is every little personality trait that this person is, you know, that we want to convey. They left, you know, the main characters Edge and Ozzel and a lot of them, you know, even the major, you know, characters like them fairly up to your interpretation without a ton of, you know, copious amounts of dialogue or text or anything. But one thing I thought was really interesting with what it did is that it and I'll probably get into a little bit of a spoiler with this, but you know, there was that dichotomy between the general ambiguity and the openness to interpretation. Yet you can also tell that Team Andromeda put a lot of detail, like painstaking detail, in certain aspects of it. They like hid a lot of Easter eggs and just bits of lore and other secrets, you know, within its nooks and crannies. But it often encouraged the player or discouraged the player from finding them. I mean, there was an instance. I think it was the lake area, Uru. It was like there's like ruins and stuff. Anyway, once you get through those ruins, that dungeon, the game explicitly tells you there's nothing to see here. Like, there's no reason to go back. Don't worry about it. Just move on. But you can ignore that advice, and you'd come across, you know, a whole another sub quest, and if you go back into the ruins, there's like a whole nother sub dungeon that you wouldn't have been able to explore the first time. And once you get in there, then you have like all of these pieces of lore to uncover, and all of these items and upgrades to get, and the game, like, it intentionally and deliberately like threw you off its path. It was just really fascinating that the developers, you know, went through all of the trouble to craft all of these parts of the world that it actively discouraged the player from seeing. And I think that was just kind of part of its broader meta narrative that, you know, you get out of the experience what you put in. And so they leave it up to the player's emotional, or not emotional, but their own initiative to really get as much out of that story as they're willing to use their imagination to fill those gaps. Okay. Well, yeah. I don't know if anybody else has any thoughts about that.
I mean, no. Let me touch on this real fast, okay? I enjoyed Panzer Dragoon Saga. In fact, I was doing a Let's Play of it for a while before I basically went to my new channel. And don't get me wrong, Panzer Dragoon Saga is an awesome game. It's a very interesting game, and I absolutely love the world of Panzer Dragoon. However, I personally do not feel that the game is the quintessential RPG of the system. I really don't.
I agree.
I believe that the reason it has so much prominence in the community is more for its value and rarity than actual the game itself. To be completely frank with you, I absolutely hate the combat system of Panzer Dragoon Saga.
Hell yes. Hell yes.
I wish that Panzer Dragoon Saga had been an RPG like it was. However, mm-hmm. It had been the open world areas where you go into the random battle encounters. I wish that had been the case where you were still in your dragon form from Panzer Dragoon and Zwei, but you had more freedom of movement. You had complete 3D control of movement. You weren't set on that rail. I would have absolutely loved that. I would have loved having the special attacks. I mean, having the RPG mechanic to it, but there are certain aspects of the game that I truly do not enjoy, the combat system being one of them. I don't think it plays well to it. I understand it. And, you know, it's kind of personal preference. There's some people who absolutely adore the game. But to me personally, it is nowhere near the best RPG on the system.
I agree.
It is a very enjoyable game, but I will tell you this, unless you are a hardcore collector, just get you a pseudo Saturn or get you a mod chip and burn the game and play it. There is no sense in paying $500 plus USD for a game like that. There's no sense in paying over $100 for a game, period, unless you've got something like a full-blown controller set up in front of you, like from, what was it, Cronehounds or whatever the game was on the Xbox, like, that I'd pay money for.
Oh, Steel Battalion.
Steel Battalion, yeah. Thank you. Like, I would pay money for that. But mm-hmm. when it comes to just a game, no, I'm not paying over $100 for a game. There's no point to it. It's a game.
Yeah.
Personally, I think it's overrated, and I'm just going to come out there and say that. I'm a huge fan of RPGs. That's just who I am and where I am. And the thing about Saga is that damn noise when you click on a target, it just drives me insane. The graphics suck. I mean, I hate to hate on our beautiful Saturn, but most of the RPGs that came out for the Saturn, the graphics are terrible. And I'm even gonna go and say that for Shining Force 3, which, you know, I'm Shining Force nuts, but the graphics are terrible. Saturn, in my opinion, did not put out the best RPGs. I think the best RPGs came out on like a PS1, PS2, and stuff like that. So, you know, talking about Panzer, it's a great idea. I love the story. The gameplay, I cannot handle. It's not for me. So I'm totally with you there.
That's what I'm getting at is I absolutely love the story of Panzer Dragoon. I absolutely love the world it creates. I personally think the graphics are superb for what they are. I mean, I understand the limitations of the system. I understand that, you know, there's certain things that could be done with it that could not be done with the PlayStation and vice versa. But again, and I know this is not the popular opinion in the community, and I honestly don't care. To me, the game is extremely overrated, and it has everything to do with the rarity of the game. It has everything to do with the rarity and the collecting value of the game. That's not to detract from it and say it's not an enjoyable game. What I'm simply saying is that, in my personal opinion, it is barely in the top five whenever it comes to Western RPG. I mean, let me rephrase that. RPGs that were available in America, it barely scrapes into the top five. Dragon Force, in my opinion, is the best RPG on the system. It has the It has the most replay value out of... Let me rephrase that. To me, it has the most replay value where you get an interesting story, you have multiple branching paths, you have complete control over it, you have enemies coming at you from every direction. It is an RPG and a strategy all in one. I mean, it's not your traditional RPG in the sense of like, let me rephrase.
Can I cut you off, Sam?
Go ahead.
Yeah, let me cut you off. Are you into hack and slash RPGs? Like, have you ever played like Shining Force Neo or Shining Force Exa? Like, how do you feel about that kind of stuff?
I kind of enjoy hack and slash RPGs or real time RPGs in that sense. You know, kind of stuff like Ease and stuff like that. Not Zelda ish, but you get what I'm saying. I do enjoy those games, but to me, I really enjoy whenever it comes to RPGs, especially old school one. I really enjoy the turn based mechanic, or if it's not going to be turn based, I want it to be real time in the sense that I have complete control. You get what I'm saying? So I do.
I don't understand why you like that game so much. To me, it was just that game sucks.
Well, that's the deal. It's personal preference. No. It's complete personal preference. You know, and me personally, I absolutely adore Dragon Force. I believe it has the best replay value on the system. I mean, this is coming from a guy who my point is this is coming from a guy who absolutely adores Albert's Odyssey. And there are so many people who absolutely talk trash about that game. And I love it if for nothing more than its localization to the Western market. That is a phenomenal, I mean, that word, I just destroyed that word. But my point is I absolutely love the localization for that game. It spews 90s. It is so much pop culture.
It does.
It is just, I laugh my ass off playing that game. And I've played it multiple times just in the past couple of years. And I love it. And the thing with it is, here's the deal. All right. I really hate getting into this. These are the top five, or these are the top three, or this is the very best. Because at the end of the day, I got news for you. Everybody has their personal preferences. I know people who absolutely hate Panzer Dragoon. I'm not one of them. I know people who absolutely hate Dragon Force. I'm obviously not one of them.
Well, Morgan.
Well, obviously.
I am.
But my point is, you know, and it's something that I see constantly throughout this community. Everybody has, there is the opinion that matters, or the popular opinion, and everything else is trash. And I am so tired of hearing about that crap. I am so tired of the 24-hour news cycle on YouTube. I am so tired of this crap. It is just, look, man, they're games. Play them, enjoy them, talk about them. And that's why on my YouTube channel, I try to steer away from that top whatever crap. I just want to talk about what the games meant, what they actually did, and why I and other people enjoy them. And I think that's what we need to start talking more about in gaming, and less about collecting value, less about what's the best games, blah, blah, blah. Just tell me your opinion on it, why you think that way, and let's go from there.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that sentiment. I mean, you know, I think the thing we lose sight of is that games, you know, just have such drastically different visions from game to game, developer to developer, and they're not all meant to be enjoyed the same way. And it's and I think part of this is we have, and maybe a lot of it stems back to how we grew up with absorbing games media. I mean, when we had the magazines, you know, EGM and all of those, you know, we were in, and also the websites and everything, GameSpot, IGN, like they were all, they framed everything, every conversation as far as what is worth your time and money. And they treated everything in kind of a finite zero-sum game. It was that if these games were great, it meant these games had to be bad. Like there was, everything was a ranking, everything was on a 0 to 1 to 10 scoring metric. And what is lost when you frame all the discussions that way, and a lot of YouTube channels continue to do that, and just websites in general, is that a game can be a million games can be amazing for a million different reasons. And there's so much subtlety and nuance that's lost when we start framing everything as far as what is, what things do compared to other things, and rather than what they do well individually. And to the Dragon Force point, I mean, that is a game where, like, I haven't really played a lot of strategy RPGs, or at least not in that sense.
You better get your life right, dear.
But I absolutely love, like, some of the just the mechanics of how you're, you know, building up an army, and you're you know, it streamlined a lot of things. It wasn't perfect, but I love the whole kind of rock, paper, scissors mechanic the enemy of your army classes and soldier classes, mm-hmm. and how everything had an advantage, and then the terrain that you were fighting on also played into that. Like, that was a really interesting system that I felt that Dragon Force did really well. And but again, going back to Sam's point, that's not necessarily, you know, not, it's not going to be everyone's cup of tea. Like, that's, it's a very specific vision for a game that, you know, isn't trying to be like every other RPG. And same with Panzer Dragoon Saga, for that instance. I mean, it was a very streamlined, it was a very different kind of RPG than what a lot of the Square and Enix stuff was doing at the time. And I think just taking a step back away from whether it was better or worse than, you know, all these other ones that were out there, kind of, you know, helps us see what those games did well for what they attempted to do. And so I don't know, I love finding things about all of these games that just kind of speak to me and just jump out as something really unique that they had accomplished.
Oh my.
I want to hear Simon's thoughts. That's what
yeah,
I want.
Yeah, go Simon. Yeah. Let's hear it.
Okay. Okay. So my thought straight away is that I'm not a fan of RPGs at all. I played a little bit of Zelda on the DS and a little bit of Zelda on the N64. But never to completion, and it's not my thing at all. And I felt sorry for Sam when we were doing our Sega Rally episode, because using about it, and he, that's not his thing. So this kind of isn't my thing. But I actually ask myself, is it because I can't play a game that takes a lot of concentration? And I can, because I play Shenmue E or Shenmue or Shenmue or whatever you call it. I played that game.
Shenmue? It's pronounced Shenmue. It Shenmue.
No.
Brian.
Shenmue, do you know the way? Do you know the way?
There is someone right here who pronounces it Shenmue.
Shenmue!
Do you know the way? Do you know the way?
Back to my point. Okay, so I can play games which are long and involved, and I would argue that that isn't an RPG in a sense, because you're playing the role of Ryu. So, you know, things like Fallout, I can play games that are long and I can play games that are involved. I don't know, is Fallout, is that an RPG? I don't know.
Sure.
But like, yes. Elves, wizards, trolls, spells, turn-based combat, forget it, man. It just bores me. And I really wanted to try and play an RPG. Stop giggling.
I'm
wanted
sorry,
to play.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I wanted to play an RPG for this episode, and I tried to play Mystaria, and I lasted about 5 minutes, and I tried
that
to play
Francis. That game sucks!
That is not the game you should have started on. I'm sorry.
It's a favorite of John Lee's, and he kindly burned me a lot of games, and he wanted me to play a game he liked, so he burned me Mystaria, and I wanted to like that game so much, but I just couldn't. I couldn't like it. Now, I don't know if you would count something like Dungeons & Dragons as an RPG, like a hack and slash sort of beat-em-up side-scrolling thing with elves and dragons and stuff, or Soul Divide. I can do those games, but about setting off on a journey or a quest, and it's just not for me. I guess, you know, I like instant gratification games largely, things like sports games, and this is why I'm so hooked on Wipeout. You pick it up, you play it for 5 minutes or for an hour, or whatever. I don't know. Is Police Notes an RPG?
That's interesting. I mean, I think there's a broader point there, right? Where you have a lot of genres that have evolved and developers who've taken existing structures and games and have turned, you know, added RPG elements to them. So something like, it's like, yeah, Fallout 3 or Deus Ex that, you know, is a first-person perspective. Yeah. Isn't necessarily, you know, it's not necessarily a straight RPG, and those lines aren't always as clear cut, which I think is kind of a cool thing. And there's a game called on the TurboGrafx-16 called it's called Final Lap Twin, I believe, and that was like a straight up RPG racing game, which was kind of cool. So I don't know how to yeah, it's kind of interesting topic you've unearthed there, Simon.
Shenmue was originally going to be called Virtua Fighter RPG, right?
Yeah, at one point.
So that game, I know it was Project Barkley or Berkeley, but it was also Virtua Fighter RPG, right? So they intended that to be an RPG of sorts. And that's my argument. Something like Police Notes, you're playing as Jonathan. You play the role of Jonathan, and it's a long game, and you have to investigate and do all kinds of stuff. I don't know. If that's an RPG, I like him. If it's the wizards, the trolls, the elves, and the spells, then count me out.
You know, okay? I can kind of see where Simon's coming from, because, you know, I was never really big into a lot of RPGs because of the what would you call it? The medievalness about it.
Come on!
Look. I like sci-fi, but I do not care so much for the whole medieval world thing. I really enjoy. I like dystopian futures. Like,
yes,
I want the end of the world coming, or, you know, Judge Dredd, you know, 2000 AD stuff. I want...
Y'all need to get your lives right.
No.
Yes,
You need to start understanding that people like me and Simon want to just go up on a bug hunt and destroy everything big enough to die. I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Then I'll play Earth Defense 2025 if I want to do that.
Hey, man, that's cool, man. But at the same time, you know, I enjoy some of the old school stuff. I enjoy a number of Final Fantasies, which are very medievalish sometimes.
Yes.
Personally,
but also that blend of sci-fi, too.
Exactly. That's why, like, personally, my favorite is Final Fantasy VIII, because it has so...
Oh, God!
Look, listen to me. People are all like, it's Final Fantasy X, or it's Final Fantasy VII, or it's Final Fantasy... No, Final Fantasy
VIII. I disagree.
Me and my wife both love Final Fantasy VIII. That was awesome. And you know what?
Talk about Final Fantasy XII.
Now, hold on. I will say Final Fantasy XII is my second favorite. It really is. But the newest Final Fantasy, I've had a really hard time getting to that. My wife did, but it's to me.
What,
it's
pushing the car down the road?
Well, no. I probably put about 20 hours up into that game so far, but it's just it's very different. I don't know. I can't really get into it just yet. Maybe later on.
Maybe. Well, if you guys don't mind, I'd like to list off some of the best RPGs in the world.
Do it.
You down? You ready?
You got 3 minutes. Start.
All right. Okay. Lost Odyssey. Shining Force 1, 2, 3. Shining Force Neo, Shining Force Access, Shining Tears, Tales of Destiny, Final Fantasy Tactics, Dark Souls 3, Final Fantasy 12, Seventh Saga, Fiat Rhythm, well, that's not really a... Anyways, Yo-Kai Watch, Shining the Holy Ark, The Witcher 3, those are some of the best. And then we've got Shining Resonance coming out here next month. I mean, we've got so many good RPGs, but I guess from my list, you can tell what I'm into. I'm more into these like strategy RPG. I like the real age, the real time strategy, god games, stuff like that. Like even the Fire Emblem games aren't that bad. The Musou. Anybody played the Fire Emblem Warriors or Hyrule Warriors?
Yeah. Well, Hyrule Warriors, I've really enjoyed too. Although I mean, that goes back to like just how. Okay, Simon, this is it's. Sorry, dude. I feel like your mic is picking up everything. It's echoing everything we're saying, and it's really going to be difficult. Oh, thanks.
Do I need to list it again?
I mean, no, it went back so far. There's like, I don't even know if I'm going to edit this. I'm just going to probably just put this straight out because it's wild.
Yeah, we're having fun. I fucking I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cuss. I freaking love this. I just, you know, I've got a list of stuff I want to talk about, but you guys are like killing it. I love this.
Well, you know, that's just what happens when we have no goal or any sort of plan whatsoever for anything we ever do.
It's been like, what, 3 weeks since we did one more of these?
Yeah, I mean, I think that just goes back to like how, because you mentioned Hyrule Warriors.
Oh, great fucking game. Right? Game.
Yeah, I mean, like the Warriors line of games to begin with. I mean, what's crazy is that, you know, you can have these RPG elements, I alluded to that earlier, in like this massive brawler structure, right? You can just kill hordes and hordes and hordes of whatever
games
thrown at you. But you still have like some of those RPG sensibilities worked in there, and it's I mean, I love, but that also extends to setting, because I mean, I agree, like I like the medieval stuff too, but I also love sci-fi, like, and I feel like the fact that you could take a genre like RPG and apply it to so many times and settings and types of universes and worlds and it's just, it's so cool that you get that kind of diversity within just, you know, a single genre like that. And it's the kind of a lot. It's a, I don't know, it makes it very interesting to keep exploring all of these games over the years. And, you know, I certainly have a lot of ground to make up as we get into some of the classic Square Enix and the PlayStation RPGs and the old Super NES games. Like I recently started Secret of Mana.
I love that game.
And so, yeah, I don't know. I think like that diversity of the genre makes it, you know, very likely that you can just keep playing those games and always see something new.
Absolutely. I think Secret of Mana is a perfect example because you can choose what type of a weapon you're going to use. Like if you know, when my husband and I played through it, and it was great because I had the whip. So I was able to whip that mofo and snatch onto the side and pull across in it. Secret of Mana is just, it's probably one of the best games ever released for the Nintendo. That's just my personal opinion. So I'm so glad you brought that game up. It's right there with Seventh Saga. I want to talk about Seventh Saga if you guys don't mind. Has anybody played Seventh Saga for the Super Nintendo?
I have not, and I promise you there might be like, I might have 10 RPGs on the Super Nintendo. Look, the Super Nintendo was my wife's stuff. I play it, don't get me wrong.
She's my friend.
But I grew up with the Genesis, man. It's about Phantasy Star.
It is, and I'm with you. I'm a Sega head, but there's something very special about the RPGs that came out for Super Nintendo in that time. Seven Saga is friggin' amazing. If you type it into the Googler, it's like the hardest RPG of its time. And it's so good from the music, the gameplay. It's phenomenal. It's absolutely phenomenal. And then you also had Final Fantasy VI. Well, they call it 3 here in America. You had Final Fantasy VI for the Super Nintendo. I mean, you cannot go wrong with that game. That's one of the best games ever released if you're going in that area of the RPGs. So in my opinion, Super Nintendo actually hit it right on the head with some of the best RPGs ever released. But then if you look at the Genesis or your, what do you guys call it over there? What do you guys call it over there? The
Mega Drive.
The Mega Drive.
The Mega Drive. Get your Mega Drive on. And then with the Genesis, you have friggin' Shining Force, which you know, it just, oh my God, Shining Force 1, Shining Force 2. There were so many good games that came out for the 16-bit era. I mean, that's where it was at for me. And then we move up to this, like the new age RPGs, it's all first person bullshit. And I can't stand it. I cannot stand this, you know, I can't. It's all about the 16-bit RPGs. Sorry, man. I went on a rant there. Man, sorry.
Morgan.
Yes. I'm
Morgan,
here.
can I just say that what I like about you is how tolerant and easygoing you are.
Thanks, partner.
You don't get passionate about things at all, do you? You just laid back and let it go.
No, not at all. I'm not passionate at all. Not at all. I'm telling you, man. We got some great games with the 16-bit, and that's why I'm so angry with New Age gaming. Everything is the... didn't mean to cuss. Everything is the same. Everything. Like Fallout, Morrowind. It's all the same. But when you go back to that 16-bit era, it's beautiful. They give you this experience, and there's no... You know what I cannot stand? I know I'm going on a rant right now. I cannot stand voice acting on RPGs. I cannot stand it. Really? I hate it. Like, I hate it. Like, I'm downstairs, you know, we're playing the Switch. We're playing the no, I'm sorry. I'm not allowed to have a PlayStation. We're playing the... you know, we're... We're playing the Xbox One, and it, all like Tales of Asperia, for instance. All they do is effing talk. It's I'm gonna attack, and they say all this stupid shit, and you just want to play the game. I don't want to hear what you have to say every time you attack. I don't want to hear about it. Like, see, I get it.
No, hold on.
Interrupt me. Go ahead.
You like it? No. See. I think this kind of what I was alluding to other with the different types of RPG gamers. You appear to me to be someone who just wants to get in there and grind. That's what you want.
Yes!
Now hold on. But what I'm saying is this. There's a lot of people like myself, and this is something that the introduction of 3D I think really allows much more so than 2D. You have the ability to tell stories in a vastly different way, in a much larger way, and you can be very detailed about it. And with the introduction of voice acting, it takes... I'll relate it to anime, okay? And I'm going to get a hell of a lot of flack for this because I'm one of them guys who is from
okay,
the...
It's okay.
I'm a late 90s tell me, babe. Anime guy. Mm-hmm. I want to watch it. I do not want to read it. So
I'm with you there.
I can relate that to gaming as well. I hate reading through paragraphs and paragraphs and paragraphs of text. I deal with it whenever it comes to some of the 32-bit games I love, the 16-bit games I love, but I want to hear people talking. And the production values that they have now, it's just kind of, you just accept the fact that it's going to happen. Now, I'll say this about it. Whenever Dead or Alive went from the Japanese voices to the English voices, that threw me for a freaking loop because all I'd heard is Japanese for years. There's a lot of people like myself who thoroughly enjoy having the ability to actually listen to the characters speak and get involved into it, have that high production value. And I mean, shit, I'm paying $60 for the game. I might as well get something out of it.
I want to, so you had mentioned, you know, how when, you know, things that changed when games like went to 3D, or at least the RPG genre. And what, one of the games that I really felt did that well and utilized that three-dimensional space exceptionally well was Skies of Arcadia, and the crux of that game, and one of the reasons I love it so much, is its focus on exploration. I mean, you have your ship, and you're kind of going, you know, it's like the airship, and you're going continent to continent, and you're exploring all these new lands and dungeons and cultures, and you know, it's not a particularly, at least not by today's standards, a terribly expansive RPG. I mean, spatially, but it's still, you know, it gave you just a huge world to explore, certainly for the time. And it was really fun to kind of feel like you were treading new ground and acquainting yourself with new areas that each had their own distinct feel and environment and tone and civilizations, and you know, they all had their own tendencies. Like you had the area that was modeled after like an ancient Japanese town, and then you had, you know, the area that was more of like a big European city with Valua, and then you had smaller villages and old rusted out, you know, islands, and you had that were old, like, I don't know, military bases or something. So my point with all of this is that it's, you know, I think that exploration was something that a game like Skies of Arcadia did so well, and it was very endearing. I mean, I don't know if I'd speak to the, you know, the dialogue, how it treated that. I mean, it was, a lot of it was text-based, so, but the character still had, like, it was still able to exude a very personable and, you know, a lot of emotional connection there just through the facial animations and everything, and so I think there was a lot it did outside of just straight voice acting to really convey who those characters were and what made them tick.
I have to say that, so when we were kids and we were growing up, didn't you love like making up your own voices to the characters in the RPGs, like in your head, or sitting there with your brother or sister, and you know, you got to do your own thing in your head?
Like when I was a kid,
the imagination was great.
I do that now.
Me too. I don't want to sound like an idiot, but like, totally. That's why I don't like the voice acting, because they're taking away a part of my like being. Like when I play an RPG, I want to imagine these characters the way I want to imagine them, and they're going to have the voices that I want them to have. And that's the problem with the voice acting. They take away that like special part of us that we had when we were children. You know, we're all 30 somethings now, or a little older. So but Absolutely. You know, like, hey, shut up. It was a special thing for us. You know, I remember my brother and I would sit there and make up voices, you know, our own little voice acting to the characters of Shining Force, and it was so special to me. And I feel like the new age gaming has just kind of robbed us of that innocence. Do you guys agree? It sounds like you guys are into the voice acting.
I personally like bad voice acting. I love it, and that's why Resident Evil is so special, because the voice acting is
voice
so
acting
bad. So
for
that's me.
Every single character, every single piece of dialogue.
You said sorry, Nuno. I think we talked on top of you. Do you want to say that again?
I was talking about how Oblivion was, from what I remember, the first game to have a full voice acting for every little bit. A piece mm-hmm. of dialogue, which at the time was huge, because before that, games had voice acting for a couple of sentences here and there, like major quests or major plot points, but most of the dialogue would be silent, would be just written. Because imagine having this huge game with so many thousands and thousands of lines of dialogue and having it all voiced. It was huge. It was mind-blowing. And when the game came out and I played it, I felt so much more immersed. And I was already a huge Elder Scrolls fanboy. I was really into Morrowind. I actually wanted to talk a bit about Morrowind. I know it's not a Japanese RPG. It's not a Sega game. But mm-hmm. Brian, you mentioned the exploration. And mm-hmm. Morrowind was really special for me in that regard, because it had this huge, continuous open world. You know, it wasn't divided into zones. There was, even going into cities, you didn't have any loadings when you went into a city, because the gates would be open and you just go into the city. The actual city was an integral part of the overworld. There were really only loading times for inside houses, like inside the buildings. Everything that was in the open world was accessible, was right there in your face. So it was this huge continuous world, and I clearly remember noticing how you had roads and you had signposts, and they would tell you if you go in this direction you can reach this city and that city. And it was true, you could look at a signpost and know what cities lay in that general direction, and if you follow the roads and you add new posts, new signs at every intersection, and if you follow the road you would eventually reach that city, which was It was amazing. It was incredible. I had never seen anything like that. And there were no waypoints. The only way to fast travel would be to use a Sealed Strider, which was this huge...
Yeah, or the Mages, like... the Mages Guild, too.
Oh, I wasn't a mage, so I don't remember much about that. I always play as a barbarian. So,
nice.
Oh, I can see you're a man of taste as well.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, you know, Morrowind is probably one of my favorite, not just RPGs, but video games of all time.
I have been sitting here for so long listening to objectively wrong opinions. So it's really good to have something like that.
Yo, Nuno, what's your digits, man? I'm gonna come talk to you.
Maybe another day, man. Let's go on. Let Brian continue.
Okay. So,
hey, man, he wants to throw shade. I'm just saying.
Wow, this took a turn.
Yes.
Okay, so I think at this point, do we want to like start wrapping up or do any? I mean, you got to get going, Sam, right?
I really do apologize to the audience out there. There is going to be no. I love you, Nuno. I'm not going to come see you. If I do come see you, we're going out to the range. But no, you got to come over here to do that. You got to come over here to do that. We ain't dealing with the laws over there. I'm sorry.
Man, but have you seen the prices for the ticket planes? Tickets, it's just outrageous.
It is, man. Look, just get on a boat and come over here.
Get on the boat, yo.
I'm just saying.
I'm on the boat.
On a boat, yo, Nuno. Nuno on a boat.
On a boat.
This is wild.
Yes.
We have gone there. Okay.
Good look at me. I'm on a motherfucking boat.
That's right. Work.
Sorry, Sam. I had to.
I mean, I'm just saying. It is what it is. All right, ladies and gentlemen out there, if you are still listening at this point, we absolutely love you. We really do.
We do.
Because
it's all love.
You are the sole reason we make these things. Because, I mean, we actually enjoy talking to each other. But the point is that I believe we have pretty much touched on every topic imaginable at this point, including boats, firearms,
boats,
gun travel,
and airboats. The skies of Arcadia. Yeah.
I mean, it's been everywhere. But again, thank you.
Oh, airships. Airboats are like, you know, in the bayou, right?
Look, we're not getting into that. We're just.
Oh,
we're not.
My God. Okay. Let me.
Hold up. Look. Again, though, we appreciate it. We want to give a massive shout out to our buddies over there at the Dreamcast Dream Pod, as always. Our buddies at Sega Saturn Shiro. We love them to death, and they do some awesome stuff, and hopefully they'll be putting out some new content here in the next couple of days, podcast wise. We always want to give a shout out to our buddy Saturn Memories over there. He hasn't made any videos in a while, but hopefully that'll change again. But he has some awesome content on the backlog. Go check him out. Mastercast TV, and let's see who else. Oh, Sega Lord X has been rolling with the punches lately. He has shot back up there. So if you're a big fan of his and you didn't know he's already on YouTube again, go check him out. Besides that, though, I believe we will be signing out. So we are going to go in order of operation, and we're going to start with Mr. Brian. Say your pieces.
This was, I think we covered some ground. It was kind of a nice departure from the usual civilized conversations we might be more accustomed to.
Ms. Morgan?
I had an amazing time. I hope you guys invite me back. Thank you so much for having me, gentlemen. It's been a pleasure, and it's been very fun. My stomach hurts from laughing.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes.
Well,
thanks
for joining us, Morgan.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, Lord. Nuno, what you got, brother?
The Witcher 3 is the best RPG of all time.
Yeah, there he is. Yes, yes. Nuno for president.
Oh, Simon?
Ain't no elves, scrolls, wizards, or spells. It's all about wipeout, wipeout, wipeout.
This has been an extremely weird episode of the Saturn Junkyard Titancast. As always... This is the Southern Sega Gentleman, and this is us signing out.
Peace.